grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather together on this day, the Sunday, which is a Pentecost Sunday, the day that we gather and worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just a couple of announcements to make. Remind everyone that next Saturday is the church picnic, which will again be at Burlholm Park. So if anyone needs a ride, I will be going out there at 12:30, I believe. So please see me, and we can make sure that we will get you out there. But hope to have as many people there as we can for that time of fun and fellowship. Also, to remind everyone that there's a deacons meeting tomorrow, which will be here at the church. So please be mindful of that. Also, there are other things going on here at Olney Presbyterian Church. Please make sure that you read your bulletin and go to our webpage to stay abreast of all that is happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church, especially as the summer months come on. We have a lot of things planned, like Vacation Bible School and other events. So please make sure that you check for those activities by going to our website and by staying connected. Our first reading this morning is going to come from the book of Acts. We'll be reading a familiar text. It's a text from Acts 2, verses 1 through 21. The reading about the Holy Spirit coming down upon the early followers of Jesus. So at this time, let us hear God's word for us. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes? Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit. And they shall prophesy, and I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, and blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" Our gospel reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of John. And we'll be reading from the 14th chapter of John's Gospel. We will be reading, our reading will start at verse 8, and we will read down through verse 17, and then we'll skip down to verse 25, and read through 27. So again, let's listen to God's word for us. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I say to you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another, an advocate, to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. And I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." The word of the Lord. Well, friends, today is Pentecost Sunday. This is the Sunday when we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit upon God's people, upon all of us, upon you and me. In the same way that the Holy Spirit came upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit now has come upon his people. The gospel narratives tell us that when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him. And it was the Holy Spirit that propelled Jesus out into the world to do what God had called him to do. Indeed, in Luke's gospel, Jesus even says, quoting Isaiah, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to proclaim good news. Good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And so everything that Jesus does and everything that he did in the power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. But now at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit has come upon all of us, has come upon God's people. After all, we are, as the Apostle Paul says, the body of Christ. You and I, and Christians all over the world, Christians of every race and color, Christians of every language and nationality, we are all part of the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ in the world, Jesus promised that he would not leave us alone. He would not leave us orphaned. He was going to send us an advocate, a helper, someone who would come alongside of us. He promised to send his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And that's what happens at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is poured out upon the church. Pentecost is often called the birthday of the church. It is often cited as the time when the church comes of its own, when the church is born. And indeed, Pentecost is one of the major feast days on the liturgical calendar, but we never quite know, I think, what to do with Pentecost. You know, we know what to do with other liturgical days. We know what to do with Christmas. We light candles and we give gifts. We know what to do with Easter. We dress up and we proclaim that Jesus is risen from the dead, but we're not quite sure what to do with Pentecost, other than to dress up in red, but I noticed that some of you did not do that, but that is what we sometimes do. But it's okay that we don't know what to do. The important thing is not what we do with Pentecost. The important thing is what Pentecost does with us. The important thing is what the Holy Spirit does to us and through us. And what the Holy Spirit does is it empowers us to do the works that Jesus did. I find that to be remarkable that we would have God's Spirit upon us, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, that would empower us as the body of Christ to do the works that Jesus did. Our gospel reading this morning is part of the Lord's farewell address. He's trying to tell his disciples that he's not going to be with them very long. And Jesus can get terribly deep sometimes, be hard to understand, especially in John's gospel. So it's understandable, I think, that Philip would say, "Lord, just show us the Father. We appreciate all the stuff you're trying to tell us, but just show us the Father and we'll be satisfied." I think we've all probably expressed that sentiment at some point or another, especially during difficult times. Just show us the Father. Let me see where God is in the midst of this. Where's God at in the midst of this trouble? Where's God at in the midst of this mixed up world? Show us the Father. And if you just show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. We'll be all right. But Jesus is a little bit perturbed with Philip, it sounds like. He says, "Philip, don't you really understand? I've been with you all this time right in front of you and you still can't see. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father, because I am the Father are one. I am in the Father and the Father is in me. The works that you see me do are the works of the Father. So whenever you're looking at me, you see the Father. You've already seen the Father. And whoever loves me, believes in me, and will do, not only do the works that I do, but they'll do even greater works. If you love me, you'll do even greater works. If you believe in me, you'll do even greater works than what I've been doing." You guys hear that? Jesus says that we'll do even greater works. Kind of hard to imagine. Can you imagine us doing greater works than what Jesus did? I mean, Jesus did some pretty remarkable things, didn't he? He healed the sick. He turned water into wine. He opened the eyes of the blind. He even raised people from the dead. He did some pretty amazing stuff. But now Jesus says that that was just the beginning. You ain't seen nothing yet, he says. You're going to do even greater things than what I've done. In fact, Jesus says, not only will you do greater things, but whatever you ask in my name, I will do it for you. I used to think that Jesus was engaging in a little bit of hyperbole here. After all, I think we'd all be hard-pressed just to do the things that Jesus did, let alone do greater things. But someone pointed out to me that even Jesus, even though he had God's Spirit all over him, he was still quite limited in what he could do. He was limited by time. He was limited by space. He only had 3 years to do what he did before we all killed him. He never ventured more than 200 miles from where he was born. He could only heal a few people at a time. He could only feed a certain amount of people at a time. He could only preach and teach to a few people at a time. He was quite limited in many ways. But as the body of Christ in the world, you and I can do much, much more. As the body of Christ in the world, our scope and reach is so much more extensive. After all, God's people are all over the world. There are people of God in every nation, in every city, people of God in every continent. There's people of God all over the world, all over the world. Together, we are the body of Christ. And we have done and can do much more than what Jesus was able to do. Jesus could only feed a few thousand people at a time, but we feed people, thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people all over the world. Christians, even in this city alone, have fed tens of thousands of people right here in this city, and tens of thousands of people in every city, and many thousands of people in this nation and all over the world. At the body of Christ, we're involved in acts of healing. Jesus could only heal a few people at a time. But as God's people, we can heal many, many people all over the world, and we have. We've healed people all over the world. Think of all the hospitals in this city alone. Hospitals with names like Holy Redeemer. Hospitals with names like Presbyterian. Before Christians, there was no such thing as hospitals. People never even thought of bringing people together, sick people together, to receive care. People never thought of senior living facilities or even hospice facilities for people to go to live out their days with dignity. No one ever thought of that. It was Christians who bought it together. Christians who were trying to be faithful to doing the things that Jesus did. I know there are people today who don't like the fact that Christians would offer care and healing, but that's what Christians the world over has done, because we're doing greater things than what Jesus did. I was thinking of some of the organizations, many Christian organizations in the world today, like our own Presbyterian Disaster Relief. They're sometimes the first people on the ground whenever there's a natural disaster. I think of organizations like Doctors Without Borders, who go to some of the most dangerous places in the world, and while it's not specifically a Christian organization, many of the people who go there are informed by their Christian faith, and they go there to do the very things that Jesus said he came to do when the Spirit was on him. They come to proclaim good news. They come to liberate those who are oppressed. They come to feed the hungry, and they do it because they're doing the works of Jesus, and they're not only doing the works of Jesus, but they're doing greater things than Jesus did because they're able to do it in so many places. And that's what Jesus says, that we'll do greater things than what he did. Still, Jesus doesn't expect us to do all of these great things on our own. He knows that we still have our weaknesses, we still have our limitations. And so he says, I'm going to send you someone. I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you an advocate. I'm going to send you my own Spirit, the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send you a Spirit that's going to give you a heart to do the things that I did. I'm going to send you a Spirit that will help you to be able to do the things that I did. I'm going to send you a Spirit that will help you to be one and united. I'm going to send you a Spirit that would help you to get over your divisions. I'm going to send you a Spirit that will deal with your internal hatreds. I'm going to send you a Spirit that will help you do the work that I have called you to do in the world. That's why Jesus says, whatever you pray in my name, I will do it. All you have to do is pray in my name. All you have to do is ask for my help. Whatever you pray for in my name, I will do it. Now, when I was young, I used to think that that's just kind of an easy way to get what I want. I'll just pray for what I want, and I'll stick the name of Jesus at the end of it. Indeed, I used to work with a woman, nice lady. She was actually an intern at my first church, but she was telling me all the things that she was praying for. She was praying for a house. She told me, I'm praying for a house. That she had the house all picked out, and a nice house in a nice neighborhood. And she said, I'm praying for a house. She said, I'm praying for a car. Not just any car, but she was praying for one of those high-end luxury cars. And she said, I'm praying for that. And she said, I'm praying for all these wonderful things. I'm praying for it in the name of Jesus. And I'm never one to discourage anyone from praying. But I'm not quite sure if that's what Jesus meant when he said, pray in my name. I think when Jesus said to pray in his name, what he meant was that when we pray, we should pray for things that are in accord with the kinds of things that Jesus would pray for. Jesus says when you pray, you should pray for the very things that Jesus prayed for. When we pray, we should pray for things that are in accord with Jesus' mission. That's what Jesus means when he says, whenever you pray in my name, whatever you pray for, I'll do it as long as it's in my name, as long as it's the kind of thing that I would do, as long as it's the kind of thing that's near and dear to my heart. If you pray to proclaim the good news to people who desperately need to do it, I'll help you do it. If you pray to bind up broken hearts and to heal broken hearts and to be on the front lines, if you pray for that, I'll do it. I'll be with you. I'll do it. I'll help you do it. If you pray for the liberation of people who are being oppressed and ground under, if you pray for that, I'll help you do it. It may seem impossible, but I'll help you do it. I'll be there. Just pray in my name. Do the kind of things that I would want you to do. Pray for the kind of things that I would want you to pray for. And whatever you pray for, I promise I'll help you do it. We know a little bit about that here at Omni Church, don't we? I know each year we pray for certain things. I know the people who are getting to readying us for the Vacation Bible School, each year I'm thinking, man, we got fewer and fewer people helping out with that. Some of the people we had, we don't have anymore, and I'm not quite sure we're going to be able to do that, but each year we're able to do that because we pray for it. And that's what Jesus says. If you pray for something in my name, I'll help you do it. And we always get it done. We always have the children come here, and it's a wonderful experience. We get it done because that's what Jesus says. If you pray in my name, whatever you pray for in my name, I'll help you to do it. I will do it. And that's what the Holy Spirit is for. The Holy Spirit empowers us so that we could do the things that Jesus did. The Holy Spirit empowers us so we can love in the way that Jesus did. The Holy Spirit helps us so that we could put ourselves on the line the way that Jesus did, so that when people in the world look upon this topsy-turvy world, when people wherever they are in the midst of whatever they're going through says, where's God Where's God in the midst of all of this? Where's God in the midst of this war-torn, ravaged place? Where's God in the midst of all of this conflict and division? Where's God in all of this? Where's God at? We can point to ourselves and say, we are all the God that you need to see. We are in God, and God in God's spirit is in us. If you want to see God in the world and what God is doing, look at us. Look at Olney Presbyterian Church. Look at what Christians are doing around the world. Look at all those Christian efforts. Look at all of those people who are feeding the hungry. That's God in the world. That's all the God you need to see. And that's what happens at Pentecost. At Pentecost, God's Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ himself, falls on God's people. And we are propelled out into the world to do the work of Jesus. Let us pray. Eternal God, we are indeed your people. We are the people that has your spirit all over us. We thank you, Lord, for helping us to be your people in the midst of this world. We thank you for how your spirit has propelled us in the midst of this community to bear witness to who you are, to bear witness to your love, to bear witness to your grace. And we ask, Lord, that you would just continue to help all of us to be open to your Holy Spirit as it blows through us, as it helps us to do what you have called us to do. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.